regulatory reading.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to hear a lot about financial industry regulations this week. President Obama is set to unveil a number of proposals, and he's already got some in his administration touting what's to come in op-ed pieces. Both Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and Obama's chief economic advisor Larry Summers published an outline in today's Washington Post. The latest from Marketplace's Steve Henn.
For more than a year, the feds have struggled to answer this question. What should regulators do with banks and insurance companies deemed too big or interconnected to fail? Bailing them out is obviously not a long-term solution. The administration's plan gives the Fed new powers to oversee huge firms and the ability to unwind them and take them apart if they begin to collapse. The idea is to recreate on a larger scale what the FDIC has done for years in the banking industry. The plan would also regulate derivatives like credit default swaps and derivative traders. It would require firms that create new mortgage-backed securities or bundles of credit card debt to invest some of their own money in these assets. But the plan does little to streamline the alphabet soup of agencies that already police banks and securities markets. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, stocks were all over the place on Friday. The NASDAQ lost 0.2%. The S&P 500 added about 0.1%. The Dow gained 28 points, 0.3% to close just under 8,800. Things are on the negative side in Europe. Stocks are down across the board, 1.5% to 2% right now. Shares in Asia closed mostly lower today. The Nikkei and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong both had losses. Ahead of the BRIC conference tomorrow, BRIC, an acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, and China, there's word that the organization won't be talking about replacing the dollar as the world reserve currency. That helped boost the value of the dollar today against foreign currencies. You probably heard the news over the past few days. The World Health Organization has designated swine flu as a global pandemic. Drug makers are gearing up for large-scale vaccine production, and businesses are being urged to review their procedures for dealing with an outbreak that could affect them. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
When World Health Organization Chief Margaret Chan made the pandemic official at the end of last week, she offered some encouraging words.
We are all in this together, and we will all get through this together.
But togetherness might not be such a good idea if the flu starts spreading through the workplace. Gartner is telling its clients to prepare for steps that could help isolate the virus. Rick Delotto is a Gartner analyst.
In many cases, companies can arrange it so that their key employees, and maybe even more than key employees, have the ability to work from home.
2 years ago, the financial services industry ran a simulation of a severe flu pandemic. It found many small and medium businesses would be more likely to try distancing employees with staggered work shifts or by separating personal workspaces. For now, though, Delotto says businesses should be stressing personal hygiene.
Be prepared to answer questions from your staff. People are hearing pandemic for real now, and they think that suddenly there's going to be a wave of sickness tomorrow. Bring the facts in. The facts will generally bore people, and they'll get back to work.
He points out pandemic merely means the virus is spreading, not becoming more severe. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Nothing like more spreadable Vegemite to make that sandwich go down a lot smoother. Kraft Foods in Australia says it's adding cream cheese to debut a newer version of the popular product Down Under. Kraft says it's a milder version of the yeast extract that Aussies have been eating for 9 decades now. The new creamier Vegemite goes on sale July 5th.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter. People are talking about business and the economy at Gather.com.
Later today, we get the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index. It's a gauge of confidence among builders nationwide. And some people, like Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan, think it can be a wee bit too optimistic. He joins us now to talk housing and where he thinks the market is. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So what do you mean optimistic?
Well, home builders are by their nature optimistic because they're building homes and they want people to buy them. And their motto, I've covered real estate forever, is it's a great day to buy a new home. So what matters is not so much the number of the index, but is the number higher or lower than it's been in previous months or in the month a year ago? That's a much better way to look at it than just to look at the number itself, which doesn't tell you very much.
So, Alan, are any of the other housing indicators giving us a clear idea of what the market's like?
Well, it's mixed, okay? Mortgage rates are up, which is generally not a good thing for the housing market. Loan applications are down, which probably has something to do with interest rates rising. And then there's foreclosures, which, depending on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, are either up or down. So I would say the numbers are mixed, but there's obviously a lot of foreclosures and a lot of stuff yet to come.
So who wins or loses then in this environment?
Well, it depends. If you're a first-time home buyer, you're clearly winning because you get to buy things cheap at still a relatively low mortgage with maybe an $8,000 credit. If you're trying to sell an expensive house and move into a cheaper one, well, you're probably a loser because you're not going to get anywhere near as much for the expensive house as you thought you might get. And if you're changing homes, you know, because your family is bigger, you're moving or something like that, then you're probably breaking even because you'll get less when you sell, but you'll pay less when you buy. So in other words, it all depends.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
By the way, we're hearing this morning that the German Chancellor Angela Merkel will meet U.S. President Barack Obama in Washington in late June for talks on Iran's presidential election and Middle East peace and next month's G8 summit. A spokesman for the German Chancellor said earlier today that visit would be the first by Merkel since Obama took office in January. Check us out at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.